Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
I don't even know where to start this professional radio broadcast this evening, other than to say hello and welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato. From the broadcast facility, we call it Jaguars Central, inside Everbank Field. Hi, Vic.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Jeff?
Good.
Joe?
Vic is...
Howdy.
Vic is in his fashion critic mode today.
He's lit...
I'm looking at the
Vikings. Mean lit up, because I don't think you... But lit up, because you're lit up.
I'm watching NFL Network, and they're showing clips of the Bears-Vikings game, and the Vikings are wearing these purple pants. I mean, how could
you're
they
aghast.
Do that? How could they send a team out on the field wearing purple pants and purple socks? No wonder they're losing.
That's their team.
There's not going to be anything left
their
of that
team color.
Franchise.
But doesn't Baltimore wear purple
yeah,
pants
they
once
wear purple
in a while?
Pants
no, they
and
wear
white
black
tops.
Pants. They don't wear purple.
No, they don't. They wear white. I mean, purple.
Purple, yeah, they do purple. Wear
and
purple.
And it's got a black stripe down the side.
Yeah. I haven't
with
seen
the,
those.
With
Vic
black
Bo,
jerseys.
Come on.
Man. The Ravens could get away with it, though.
See?
There's some teams that can't get away with
it's
it.
It's all about perception
there,
Vic.
You know, if the Ravens want to wear purple, hey, you wear whatever you want. I mean, yeah, purple looks great on you. Not the Vikings.
You don't. The orange doesn't bother you. The purple does.
I mean, I'm not. Well, the
teams
are wearing white pants.
Right.
I mean, if you want to wear a purple shirt, that's one thing. If you want to wear an orange shirt, that's not orange pants.
No, I mean orange
not
pants.
Not purple
the
pants.
The Browns wore orange pants.
No, they wear white pants.
No, but they
but
have
yellow
worn pants.
Pants are okay. And they're not gold. They're yellow.
Well, no, they're gold. I mean, gold is
<it's> yellow.
Gold is yellow.
Yeah,
no,
yellow.
Gold is gold.
What are we talking about?
That's what I said. We're doing the Vic fashion preview of the NFL.
Look, yellow ain't purple. Purple is purple. I mean, it's a freaking Easter egg color, you know?
Tell that to a grape. That's
that's the line of the night. Congratulations, Joe. You've just silenced Vic. Tell that to a grape.
So I hear they cut Chevis Jackson.
Yeah, who?
I thought it was an after dinner.
Right. See what kind of show it's going to be tonight, folks? And it's not even the week. It is the week before.
Was he really here?
I never saw him.
There wasn't a Chevis Jackson, was there?
You mean the bottle?
There is no such guy. They made him up. They got people coming in and out of here. Like
GMG is a very busy man.
Like Coughlin's the GM.
Vic is referring to a roster move that happened today. Chevis Jackson was a cornerback and got released today. And the Jaguars signed Jason Hill, a fourth-year wide receiver.
I don't drink often, but when I do, I drink Chevis Jackson.
Okay. So the phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 355-NFL-1 or
800-355-NFL-1.
He does. Yeah, he does.
When did you don't get you have an echo?
When did you get thirsty today?
There ain't no shrimp in that cup.
It's cocktail sauce.
How much of that Hill guy coming here is because he's has a lot of luck against Tennessee?
I don't know. What do you do against Tennessee?
He says he doesn't have many touchdowns, but a couple of them are against the Titans.
I think
the reason
he is here is that Mike Sims Walker was limping around at the end of that game Sunday.
He didn't practice today.
I have not seen the practice report, but I will read it.
Did not practice.
He did not practice.
But that's probably why.
He's very injured.
He's very injured.
They claimed him off of waivers.
Right. He was waived by the
49ers.
Hey, what's your first down? Two career touchdowns, both against the Titans.
All right.
Sounds like they just need a guy. So, what else is lighting up your inbox today?
Well, these are the issues as I see them.
Let's
confronting us tonight on this two-hour sports talk show. Blackout potential.
Okay.
I'm
what's the number right
I'm
now?
I'm aghast. I'm furious that this is even an issue.
Right.
That there has to be an extension request for this team to sell these tickets. I got to watch how I put this. It angers me.
Okay.
What is it going to take? It doesn't get any better than Sunday. I mean, it's just, and are we losing sight of the fact that on Sunday, if the Jaguars beat the Browns, they will be tied for first place because I guarantee the Colts are going to lose in New England. They won't let them leave with a win. They'll make them play all night long until they beat them. And if they still don't beat them,
They've lost the last two.
They'll arrest
guys.
Them.
Yeah. Well, in the way that they look, you've got a New England team that rolled into Pittsburgh and put 39 points up on that defense. What was the last? Have they given up 39 points all year?
That was a tired football team. Number one. Number two, the league has neutered the Steelers.
I don't doubt that. Mm-hmm. But 39 on Pittsburgh will always catch your attention.
Yeah, I mean the Patriots are playing at a fantastic level, and just in time for the little old Colts to go there for a good old fashioned whacking. I mean, they're going
to
stick.
All right. So what's the number? What's the number? How many tickets have to get sold?
Oh, who knows? I mean, abracadabra. I mean, the hands go this way, the hands go that way. Who knows what
5,000?
What shell the pea is under?
All right. 5,000, is that a fair number, or has it got to be more than that?
I heard 4,000 going into today. Vito's story said it's quoted Mackey as saying it's likely they'll file an extension. Teams almost never file extensions without lifting the blackout.
Without feeling like they can get there.
So the obvious inference is that they'll get there and they'll lift it. But doggone it. I mean, when are we going to get a hot ticket? I mean, a legitimate hot ticket where you have trouble. See, that's what I want. I want the day when you can't get one. I want the day when you're waiting outside at 3 a.m. in a tent in a line.
Right.
And the team is delivering, and the line goes all the way out to the baseball grounds, and the team is delivering pizzas, to people. Who are spending the night, wrapped in blankets. I want that. I want a hot ticket. I don't want this thing where every week we're scratching and clawing to show the game on TV. Hey, what's the big deal? Why does the game have to be shown on TV? What's the big deal here? It's like it's some kind of mandate, some kind of deadline that has to.
You black it out.
You want to see the
game? They'll buy tickets.
Buy a ticket.
Yeah. You black it up, you'll have a big walk-up crowd.
We spent all last year blacking out 7 games and sending that message, and the message was that if you don't buy a ticket, if the tickets aren't gone, the game isn't going to be shown on TV. And I'm afraid they're retracing their steps. I wouldn't file the extension. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, gone.
All right, let's take our first break of the evening. We'll come back.
Vic's fired up.
I know. Find Glenn, somebody. We'll be back.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Are we on? It's a weird night in here. Normally, the night before Thanksgiving is our weird night show. But this is weird tonight. It just feels strange.
Blame it on Chevy's desk.
Yeah, I will.
I wouldn't
blame
we
don't
him
even
on
know
that.
Who it is. We never saw him.
I never saw him. I interviewed Terrence Wheatley, but I never interviewed Chevis Jackson. I don't think he was here.
We had some padded exposures on him.
Padded exposures.
Ryan Robinson is here. He's here to eat. By the way, the folks at Seabest at Lagerman's, is that a request or is that beckoning or is that demand?
No, you don't demand anything, but they have done an outstanding job because...
What do you mean you don't? You demand everything.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I'm not like you, Joe. I'm not high maintenance.
You demand. Yes, you are.
I'm certainly not.
Diva.
Because Joe demanded the Italian sausage that we have tonight with the peppers and the marinara, which is a product that Seabest does.
Joe's very talkative.
And they send it to Jamaica, and it's outstanding. They did bring some clams for me. That was very nice of them. Thank you very much, Seabest guys.
Like the clams.
And they brought... bagels and lox for Joe. He's got a little, of that in his background, and he loves
what are you talking
salmon.
A little what? What are you talking about?
Bagels and lox.
He's not Jewish. He's Italian.
No, he's got some Russian Jewish in him. You didn't
really?
Know that? Yes. That's what I heard you say earlier. Am I right?
Maybe I was lying. Why are you listening to my conversation?
South Philadelphia?
That's what he told you. He was talking earlier. He was having this long, drawn-out conversation with Mick, our producer on TV, and he was telling him that he actually
had a fine man, by the way.
Did I mention you were talking
Russian,
tonight?
Russian Jewish?
He's the only Russian Italian Jew in South Philadelphia.
So Joe got everything. He got bagels and lox.
Jacksonville.
He got the sausage and marinara with the peppers and onions and bread and you know, good old me, I got fried clams.
Mm-hmm. For a split second there was that look on his face like, oh, where am I going?
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, right. Okay, Joe. There's someone in the studio. Shouldn't you be talking to them? 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, if you'd like to join us on the program this evening.
You scared Deborah away. She was holding. Now she's gone.
Yeah, but guess what? Lines 1 and line 2 are both ringing, big boy.
You want me to get that?
We should have guest hosts one night just so they could experience this. Were you refreshed during the break? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. So, tickets for sale. Tickets for sale. Tickets for sale, 633-2000, jaguars.com. Vic says he'd black it out tomorrow at 1.
Yep.
Mackie Weaver says they're going to file for the extension, which means that you have to Friday at 1.
He's soft.
He's nice.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
Which means you're not.
Gonski, 1 o'clock.
Not going
to
go.
How do you respond to that?
You just turn and you smile.
What do you say to that? I mean, if Vic is in rare form, he's in one of those moods. If you say something that might cut him, he'll get angry, or he just might never say a word the rest of the
night. What do they want? A Hail Mary at the end of each half? You know, okay, here's the first half Hail Mary, and here's the end of the game Hail Mary. I mean, how many Hail Marys is it going to take to fill this freaking building?
Filling it might be the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Considering that now this weekend...
Hail Mary full of fans.
All right. Let's do this. Let's grab Dan and ask Dan to help us. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Nice to have you.
Hey, I just had a comment on why I think the Jaguars don't have the backing of the town of Jacksonville like they'd like to. I'm from Detroit. I moved here 10 years ago. You know, you grew up with a team like the Detroit Lions, even though the Lions aren't what I'd like them to be today. I'm a Jaguar fan, but a lot of people that move here, I'm in real estate, come from somewhere else. And it's hard to get them to give up the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati's or the Buffaloes, you know, when they come to Jacksonville. And I'm not sure what the answer is or how to get them to convert, other than have an exceptional team. But, it hurts me to watch as well, and I hear Vic's, you know, pain and anger of, why can't the city back them? Well, a lot of the city is backing their home teams and hasn't made that commitment.
What you're saying is there's no question. There's a lot of that. I don't want to go too far back in history, but when I came here in 1995, I knew some NFL people and asked for some surveys on the Jacksonville market. And the one that stunned me was the survey of all NFL of all non-NFL markets, which at that time Jacksonville was a non-NFL market because they had yet to play their first game. What were the favorite teams, the most popular teams in those markets, since they didn't have one of their own? And I fully expected that that team in Jacksonville would be Dallas or Miami.
Safe bet.
And you know who it was?
I do.
Redskins.
Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, what? What? I said, what? And yeah, I guess it was. I mean, that's what it is. That's what the survey says.
Big Navy presence
in Philadelphia. That's what it was. There was a large population of displaced Philadelphians, Navy people, et cetera, from the naval yards in Philadelphia who were here. And, well, I mean, there's no tie, so it's not going to translate. It's not going to transfer, you know, to the Jaguars at that time. And yeah, so what you're saying, caller, you're right. There's a lot of that, and that's something that has to be overcome.
And also, this is a very large stadium and a relatively small market.
It's been
downsized. And I know that, Vic, you say that it's the only ticket in town. Well, it's not. You say that a lot.
What else is there?
Everything.
Such as?
Well, it's not just about sports, Vic. I know that kind of changes
your skew
of things, but I mean, that's kind of how you look at it. there are a lot of things to do, you know, so if you look at it for as far as percentage of population, it has to be a very high demand and a high percentage of the population to fill the stadium.
So you're going to kiss up all night long so the fans...
No, that's a fact. Okay. That's a fact. I mean, we all don't live, you know, in football, baseball, and basketball terms. I mean, there are people that do other things that might involve outdoors or other activities.
Yeah, be that as it may, there are not 81 baseball games here a year. There are not 48 or 50 NBA or NHL games. And frankly, there's not even a major college football or JU in basketball.
No, it's not major college.
You don't have. I mean, there's not much competition for the sports dollar here. Entertainment dollar, yes. You got golf. You've got theaters and all that. You got zoos and that kind of stuff.
With boats.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but hunting leases. Come on. I mean, when is this going to kick in?
Here's the best point you've made, though. The best point you've made is that what will it take after that, right?
Yeah.
Get people in for the next week against a Cleveland Browns team that has played very well this
month. Hold on. I'm not done. You got a quarterback with a 104.9
You got this
9,000 passer rating.
Highest rated quarterback in the AFC.
We got a football team here who has hit 30 plus points in four games this year,
right?
And this week has a chance for the second time this year to have a 30-point-plus game, a third consecutive 30-plus point game for the first time in franchise history. Not even Mark Brunell,
right?
And that bunch did that. So I mean, for a long time, the complaint was they just don't understand it. We like the offense style, you know, lots of offense. Well, you got lots of offense. This is a team that wins with offense.
I like defense.
That you don't necessarily.
I think you'd
have.
Like anything I don't.
Sausage or peppers, right? Shrimp.
And by the way,
lox.
All that food down there, you can thank me. I see best. That's my people.
Oh, is that your people?
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, while we're at it.
Oh,
really?
I brought him here.
While we're at it, who's going to get Thanksgiving dinner for us next Wednesday night?
See best. They'll bring fish in. Stuff fish.
I think maybe we need to call John Ranieri at Sonny's and fill it up. But Sonny's and Seabest could bring food. Would that be okay next week? Sonny's and Seabest? Okay. Sonny's and Seabest next week. We want you both to bring food. Oh, okay. Well, would you tell
if you want Seabest, talk to Vic.
Okay.
He's got the connections there.
That's right.
You got the red bat phone?
They love me.
Seabest.
You betcha.
Hook a brother up.
Folks, I told you, it's a weird show tonight, so just understand that.
Vic is so tight with them that they bring in fried seafood week after week.
Everybody loves fish.
And you can't eat fried food.
Real quick. If you could have any food brought in on a Wednesday night, because it just comes and you eat, you know, what you like, and you never really say what you would like. What would you like over there for a show on any given Wednesday night?
I like cooked cabbage. My wife won't cook it because it stinks up the house. I got to go to Barbara Jean's to get it.
Okay. I don't want that here either.
Not in a radio studio.
Anything but cooked cabbage.
I love it.
I love cooked cabbage.
Uh-oh.
Love it. Can eat cabbage all day long.
I told Russ Purnell about it.
Gives me
and he went over
gas,
to Barbara Jean's and he went crazy.
All right.
We can have cooked cabbage in here if you wear purple pants.
And folks, if you don't know what that means, it has nothing to do with the color of cabbage.
Cabbage and sausage?
Phone line.
We're in agreement on something there, Brian.
You know, that might be the only time tonight.
Yeah.
Logs. But that's what makes this radio show great. People don't understand that even when you argue, you hold hands during the huddle. We break now. News is next on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Before we get to the phones, and there are a lot of people there, if you are free on Saturday, you should come down to the stadium and register today for McKenzie's Run, a 5K and 1 mile run and walk through downtown. That includes a Jumbotron finish on Everbank Field's 50-yard line. The family event held Saturday, November 20th. Proceeds go into the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Find out more and register at caregivegrow.org or firstplacesports.com. Brought to you by the Jaguars, the Players' Championship, Everbank, and LPS. That is McKenzie's Run this Saturday here at the stadium. Should be a beautiful day for it.
Hey, now that GM Jean stepped out of the room.
Yes. He was here enjoying the culinary delights of Seabest Seafood.
Do you think the Vicbo guy, the Vicbo creator, cartoon creator listens to this show?
There's no doubt.
We could use a new one, couldn't we?
Yes.
You know, the last one was Gamblin' Jack.
We used that on the air on Sunday,
by
the way. I said, do you think Gamblin' Jack will go for it? And I didn't even realize what I was saying.
The fourth down that he decided to send Scobie out? I thought he was going to go for it.
We had a commercial break, and I wrote in my blog, this is going for it is absolutely the right thing to do here.
I was in agreement with
that. You wrote Gamblin' Jack, didn't you?
I think I did,
yeah. Yeah, we're all using it.
And I was certain he was going to go for it, and I look up, and Scobie's on the field. What the, huh? I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Maybe Scobie thought he was going to go for it, too, wasn't ready.
Maybe.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go to YouTube and type in V-I-C-B-O-W.
Yeah, I mean, we could, you know, if you're out there, I know who he is, and I know where he lives.
Okay. So you're sending a not-so-covert message.
Yeah, I tell you what, the stuff he does is
great. Oh, no, it's hysterical. It
absolutely. We need something new to guide us into the crunch time season. We need a crunch time.
Vic Bo.
Or whatever, or Gamblin' Jack, or GMG.
Are you gonna link this so where, I mean, people are in their cars or at home, and they're going, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know, but Gene hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, someone will tell him now.
But that's beside the point. I mean, but how about all the listeners? They'd like to know.
How about Gamblin' Jack? Has he seen it yet?
I don't think he's seen it. I mentioned it to one of Gene's staff.
Tell people what they got to go. If they go to Google.
Go to YouTube.
And type
YouTube.com, type Vicbo, V-I-C-B-O-W.
It'll come up. You'll see three or four.
There's four. There's four. And you want the most recent one that you want is GM Gene and Gamblin' Jack. And you will laugh. You will laugh like you have not laughed in any amount of time.
Are you the creator? I mean, you said you know who it is. I got a feeling it's you.
No, it's not me. I know where the guy's from. I sent a little message, a little hint in the column, and he responded right away. And next thing I know, a couple of days later, up came a new one. We need another one. I mean, it's carried us this far. It's gotten us it's gotten this team into a playoff contention. Maybe
it's pretty good stuff.
Maybe you can get him a division.
I haven't seen them all, but I saw the first couple, and they're pretty good.
Oh,
there's four.
Yeah.
All right. Let's grab a couple phone calls here. 355.
How about Dave?
FL1. You want to start with?
Yeah. Let's start with Dave.
Okay. Dave is in Mayport. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Actually, it's not Dave. It's James. What's up, gentlemen?
What's happening, James?
I am the one that won the 20 scratch off tickets last week, and I appreciate it because we got down there Saturday morning at about 10 o'clock. You know.
Good deal.
Brought them home, scratched them off. I had 20 tickets. I got $60 cash out of the deal. That's great.
What did you take off and what did you scratch off?
Oh, man. It was all good. Now, see, that's what I called because I just talked to the guy to answer the phone and say, hey, man, it's James Mayport. I got to talk to Catchman. He goes, why? I said, he's being an ass because I'll get you on the air. And the thing is, I'm going to set you straight with Jeff because I got a plan, and me and Jeff got to meet. And if you don't like anything we got to offer in this town,
all
right. Okay, you tell us. You know, black the game out 1 o'clock tomorrow. Well, I've been in this town since I was 7 years old. I'll be 40 next June, okay?
Okay.
And when I get paid on Fridays, I got to rush, get home, get my check in the bank so I can go to a Jaguar game. But it costs me $200 all the time.
You know, and that's not right. You know what? I don't like that.
Right.
That bothers me.
Right.
That's not right.
And you just said this town has nothing else to offer. You're talking about the Suns. Okay, the Suns could win all their games. They can win the pennant chase, win on everything, and no one talks about them, but maybe a story on the news. Yes, the town does not support a whole lot of stuff. And if you don't like it, here's the plan. Me and Jeff are going to take you fishing one day, and we're going to use you for bait.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But listen, in all seriousness, you're right about that. I don't like, and that's why I went off on the Jerry Jones thing a few weeks ago. It bothers me greatly, and in fact, it angers me that these ticket prices have to be what they are, and they're at the absolute rock bottom here.
Right.
I mean, look at it this way, caller. What's the caller's name?
James.
Look at it this way, James. In a lot of these towns, a lot of these cities, you got to buy a PSL before you even buy the ticket. They're selling these things for $20,000 and $30,000 each right now. The PSLs in Chicago are going for $20,000, and one in Pittsburgh just went for $30,000.
$30,000?
$30,000 for a PSL.
And that's just a
license that allows you to buy the ticket.
That just allows you to buy the ticket. So you're getting a tremendous, tremendous bargain here in Jacksonville, but it still bothers me. The $200, you have to pay $200 to take your family to the game. That really bothers me because that is too expensive, and that has to change. And what it means is that these owners like Wayne Weaver, the small market guys, the low revenue owners, have got to take this game back from the, I'm not even going to say it.
Hey, look.
Greedy, you know what.
Listen, we were talking about this in the break. There are empty seats all over the league this year. There are a few select markets where you don't see empty seats, but there are.
That's true.
Wait, in Kansas City, I don't know if you paid attention, but I grew up there, so I
but
watched.
Cub seats.
No, no,
Cub
no.
Seats.
The upper deck was half empty,
no,
but they're all
that's
red.
Not true. That's
yes,
not
it was.
True.
Yeah, it I, was. Yes, it was.
Their attendance
I watched
was.
It.
They announced what 70.
You know, maybe they fub it. Maybe they lie. I'm just telling you. I looked at empty seats all over Arrowhead Stadium. Yep. I'm not trying to justify this, but when you're talking about the ticket prices being what they are, you're seeing empty seats all over the league. That's
Joe's
a market-based inventory.
So was Dallas.
Yeah, there were empty seats in Dallas.
A lot of them.
Okay, we set a goal here in this town with the whole Buscelli movement, and the goal was, hey, forget about the club seats. Just sell out the General Bowl, which is the second smallest blackout number in the league, 50,900. That's all. That's all. 50,900. Forget the club seats. Forget the terrace suite. Forget the luxury suites. The real money-making tickets. Just buy the cheap ones, 50,900 of them. I don't think that is an unreasonable expectation.
It's not.
Or goal.
I'm with you.
It's not.
I'm with you.
James, appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's grab Rob in Orange Park. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Just on my note, two tickets in section 436 and a parking pass in the sports complex garage is $113 a month on the 30-30 plan, and I consider it money very well spent. But I think with what Vic was asking earlier, what's it going to take to get these seats sold? I'm optimistic about it. I really think we're really close to seeing it happen, guys. And the reason is because if we can keep on playing, wins or losses aside, with this team this year, if you're thinking about it from a fan point of view, I hope with the rebuilding. But I think we're seeing a competitive team and starting to play well consistently. Before this Sunday, we were 2-2 at home, and the two losses were blowout losses. I think a lot of the fence sitters right now would buy a ticket if they thought they were going to see a consistent product. And so I'm hoping that's what we're going to start to see for the second half of the season, because we've been so inconsistent the first half of the season. You know, half the games are blowouts. Nobody wants to buy a ticket for that unless they're hardcore, and the hardcores have already got the season tickets, guys.
Rob, you know what I look forward to? And folks, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the NFL highlights, but watching Buffalo get their first win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember playing in Buffalo when they were in their heyday.
They led the league in attendance.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, four-time Super Bowl attendees, and the place was just bonzos.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Detroit, right, this past weekend.
Right.
Got their first victory ever. And I'm sitting there watching the highlights. You
first
know,
victory this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the highlights, and I'm going, wow, look at all those people. And all you could see was the lower deck, obviously, because,
right,
you know, it's the field of play. But still, the lower deck was very full. You know, I look forward to the day when this place is full, no matter what,
mm-hmm,
because it's their team. It's your team. That's what I look forward to. And it's not about, are they consistent? Well, are they this? Are they that? Who the opponent is? I look forward to that day when this place is full because it's your team, okay, and they're playing.
I watched the Gators game on Saturday night. And see, the inference here has always been that the reason we're not buying the tickets is because they're playing crappy football. Well, what was that Saturday night? Was that crappy football? I mean, how does it get worse than that? He had four quarterbacks in the game. He had a quarterback for running short, a quarterback for running long, a quarterback for throwing deep, and a quarterback for throwing short. And they didn't do any of the four. Place is full. And it'll be full for the next game.
355-NFL-1. Time for a break. Let's take it now. We'll come back. Finish up hour number one of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, let's shift gears and talk football. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Steve, who joins us from Fleming Island. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a comment and a few questions. The comment is on your Thanksgiving Day show. There's this guy that comes on Saturday, and all I hear about of all these turkeys and fish and deer sausage and this and that and the other, if there's not some food on a smoker out there in front of one Everbank field, I don't know what there is to do.
Pressure's on, Loggy. Way to go, Steve. Thanks for calling him out.
Hold on. Hey, hey.
The man can smoke.
Smoker's a good thing.
You got an industrial grade smoker, don't you?
Man, I got a big one. And Steve, yesterday I go by to pick up my deer meat, and my good buddy Gary over at Tillman's has got the stuff just came out of the smoker.
So, oh my
so not
God,
only did I pick up the old deer meat, I got plenty of good smoked meat.
My question is, Jeff, when you're breaking down the film a few days ago. I wanted to see with your keen eye and experience, what did you see with like Jordan Black? How is he looking? How did Eugene Monroe look? And how did our defensive ends look with Lane and Hart? And I'll take your comments off the air. And I really appreciate you guys do a great job.
All right, thank Steve. The tackles. I thought Eugene Monroe had one of his best games, and that was a game in which David Grar got under some pressure. He had two mistakes that I can recall in the ball game, and they were relatively minor. The pressure came from elsewhere along the Jaguars' line. Because let me just add to that: I thought that was David Garrard's best game, bar none, not even close. And I know the numbers were better in Dallas, but the performance that he put out there with the pressure that he was under, his best.
What is it? What is it?
His best.
What is it? What is it with this guy? What's turned him into this quarterback?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, is it concentration, preparation? I don't know.
A concussion? Going to fall down a well, eyes go cross, get kicked by a mule, eyes go
well,
straight?
Well, maybe they got, you know, back to straight. Maybe they're crossed.
You're shameless.
I don't know.
Christmas vacation.
But David, clearly David's best game. Eugene had, a real solid game. I think Jordan struggled a little bit. Antonio Smith had a very, very good day, defensive end for the Houston Texans, and he got some plays against Jordan, got some plays elsewhere, but very, very good player. As far as defensive ends go, I mean, Austin Lane in
– Bringer of Pain.
You know, yeah, the Bringer of Pain. It was just kind of eh. Jeremy Mincy was just kind of eh. I mean, energetic, played hard. You know, all of them. They all did.
It's tough to play football with a roll of toilet paper on your hand.
You know, he actually did pretty well. You know, and I was watching for that to see how he did, and he actually functioned very well.
In case you didn't know.
And it's not actually a club. They had a cast kind of on the wrist hand, and so it wasn't a club where he had his hand in a fist and it was just a stub. They had his hand cast to where he could at least use the hand like the wax on, wax off with an open hand.
Oh, so, just think what would happen if someone stepped on it. Oh.
But it's casted. You know, but they got to get more production out of those guys. Now, everybody's been wanting to talk about Rasheen Mathis.
Oh, you're telling me. I got 500 questions sitting in my inbox.
Here's what I have, what's the proper word? Ascertained?
Ascertained is a very good word.
Okay.
You got your asser, then you got your taint.
Yeah. The deep pass to Andre Johnson down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The safety was supposed to be in the middle.
That's correct.
Okay. And on that particular play, I understand that the safety's supposed to be there. He's not there. What I didn't like was after the safety wasn't there and Rasheen recognizes, hey, I'm one of the last guys here.
Mm-hmm. Jogged.
I didn't see the full speed. And then the turn to embarrass one of your teammates. I mean, you can't do that. And they did the same thing on the goal line. Right. And the goal line, and so the deep pass wasn't his fault. But still, you don't do what he did after that. And then the goal line play looked like they were trying to play, you know, a coverage that you just can't play.
This is what I was told by Rasheen, and then it was confirmed by an assistant coach who will on defense.
It was not a good call.
Nameless. Once there was play action, it was Rasheen's responsibility to come up and support against the run.
That's correct.
And the safety is supposed to come over.
Far for the safety to go.
He was out of position.
He was out of position, but it's still too far to go.
The fake was kind of crummy, and Rasheen should have been able to fight off the fake and drop into coverage.
Not a good place to play two.
What?
Not a good place to play two.
Right.
I put that one on the coaches. Now, the double move was Rasheen. You know, so
right.
So, I mean, that one was his responsibility. I think the one on the goal line for the touchdown was, I think,
a
coaching mistake. 60-yarder was a safety mistake, but you don't do what you did.
Safety should have gotten wider on the corner play. He needed to get wider.
You see how far that is to go, Vic?
I know.
When it's only about 6 yards to go?
Well, so you're in a bad call.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But, hey, everyone's laying it on Rasheen. I mean, hit him for what he's worth, but don't nail him for what he's...
That's right.
That's not his responsibility.
Not playing... I'm the first to... Hey, he's not playing like Rasheen that we used to watch, okay? And I don't like what happened after the long pass, but don't say that that was his guy.
Okay, so what's going on with Rasheen?
I don't know.
You're paid to know these things.
Maybe he's lost it.
It's 8 years in the league, and it's a tough game. It's a tough game.
I don't know.
I thought the play that he made on the ball at the end of the game in Dallas, the interception, mm-hmm. looked like old Rasheen.
Yes, broke on it.
I thought maybe we had seen a breakthrough for him, and that the second half of the season we would see the old Rasheen.
I was hoping that play would jumpstart him. You know, the tackling efforts weren't very good in the game. You know, for a guy that wanted more in training camp, you're not making a very strong statement.
Any chance he didn't want them to see him in OTAs?
I don't know. Only one person knows the answer to that. I just know that what we're seeing certainly would not warrant a pay increase.
Good guy. I really hope he plays better. Because I don't.
This team needs it.
The team needs it. He needs it, and I don't like to see him get roughed up in his hometown. This is his hometown, folks.
He's got to be better, you know. And when you have a secondary, which you know, safety, and other corner are all in their second year. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, you know, you're the man. You got to be, you know, accountable, and you got to be a guy that they can lean on, mm-hmm. and maybe lean the coverage the other way. To help out other areas because I got this here. I got this. You know what I mean? I got this side. You help on the other side. You know, help with Derek, help with the safeties, help whatever, wherever. And they're not getting that level of play. And that hurts, you know, because then you can't get creative in coverage when you don't have, you know, a guy that you know, can leave out on an island and feel real comfortable with.
Here's what we have. We have an offense that is carrying a defense. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch. I'm a defensive guy.
Right.
I think everyone knows that, but I'm kind of enjoying this.
Well, the next 30-point game would be their fifth of the season, which would tie the 96 and the the 99 and 2006 teams with most 30-plus point games in a season.
I think they have another gear left in offense, and that gear is do it every week.
All right, folks, we need a break for news here at the top of the hour. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. More to come after the news on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Well, Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jags.com and see how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, Jaguars.com and the Fan Zone section takes you right there. Sexton, Lagerman, Ketchman, Fortunato. You've been quiet for a while.
I got the impression you didn't want to hear from me anymore.
Well, he talked a whole bunch earlier, so he's feeling better now. He's okay.
All right. You got it all out of your system? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Wait, I'm going to do my coach imitation. Yes.
Oh, that was a shot. That was a shot. Joe is feeling emboldened tonight.
Who do you want to clean out your office?
I was looking for work when I found this gig. So we'll see what happens.
You can call Jerry Jones back. Maybe he'll get your old job.
Remember, he didn't like that one. That's why he drove home without a job.
Really gutsy. I mean, really gutsy. I mean, you have big ones to do that, man.
I went back there. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they told me I was a legend.
Because of your bold.
I just said, I'll see you.
Yeah.
No one leaves the Cowboys.
Because he sang Johnny Paycheck, right?
Saw what happened to him, too. right in the pooper.
Yeah, they've been nowhere since I left. That's right. Good point, Vic.
You killed him, Joe.
Should write a letter.
You killed her.
How much money is Michael Vick going to get at the end of this year? Who's going to pay him, and how much is he going to get?
Andy Reid's done a wonderful job.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've always known that Michael Vick had, and everybody's known that he's had skills that are just beyond belief. Right. And I've always said this, the greatest athlete that's ever played the quarterback position.
Might be.
But he didn't know how to play the position. And what I saw on Monday night, I mean, that's just, you can't even describe something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got
a smile on his face in the huddle. He knew no one could stop him.
He's got an arm that with a flick of the wrist, I mean, it's high velocity, it's accurate, and now it's like he knows where to go with the ball.
How about that flat-footed 50-yard pop-up he threw to the corner of the end zone?
And it doesn't even make it look hard, whereas other people would have to throw 50 yards and put everything they had into it, and he just goes, and it's gone.
Well, compared to David's 50-yard throw. I mean, yeah. David's not a weak guy. Uh-uh. David's got a good arm.
He wound
got
up
a very good arm
and heaved it.
Yeah. And he said, I saw him today on Rome is Burning on ESPN say, you know, that's about as far as he could throw it.
Well, it's a good thing they got that penalty and the 11-yard completion. Boy, that was – I got to give Dirk credit.
Well, before you do that.
Cutter credit for that.
Okay, and I want to ask you that real quick. Who pays him and how much? Does he stay in Philadelphia? And
he's a $100 million guy.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was asking for.
Yeah, but
look at what McNabb just got.
Yeah, but there's so many conflicting reports about what McNabb got.
Okay, his guarantee is $3.5 million.
Yeah, and that's disputable.
Okay, but hold on. This is how it works because it really works for both sides. If the Redskins want to get out of the deal at the end of the year, then all he will have gotten is $3.5 million for the rest of this season. But then he would go into free agency and sting somebody big. I mean, because the guy still has some skills.
Mm-hmm.
He can still play. All right. So, but I suspect that or expect that the Redskins will keep him.
Well, you don't give him $3.5 million for nothing.
Then when they keep him, $40 million is guaranteed. Well, if he's worth 40, what's Michael Vick worth?
More than well, but here's the thing. You know, Don McNabb doesn't have Leavenworth in his background. You know, in one small misstep, Donovan's not going to go on the shelf. I mean, that's the case with Michael Vick. Yeah. I would have to think that it's going to be a large contract with Philadelphia, but not crazy large. And there has to be, for a contract of a guy like him, you have to have some type of protection built into it to where you get money back if he, for some reason, is not eligible to play.
Vick would be crazy to leave Philadelphia. I mean, it's the perfect place for him. He's from the Tidewater, which isn't all that far from Philadelphia, so he can keep close to his family. But it's not so close that he can run there, you know, at a whim and you know, hook up with his boys, so to speak. That was a problem before. He's had success in Philadelphia. He's got a coach who loves him and went to bat for him, put his career on the line for him, mm-hmm. and has taught him how to play the position when no one else could teach him how to play the position. And Joe, all indications are that the town is fine with him. They're not, you know, they're not. It hasn't been a distraction. The dog thing.
Yeah, and everything I've seen points to him giving the quote hometown discount when it comes time to sign.
Right.
But, hey, when somebody else decides to give you twice as much money.
And where is there a better place to play? I mean, it's a huge market. It's a premier market. You know, it's a newspaper town. It's a media market. It's an hour away from New York.
Yeah,
it's
but
perfect.
Suppose Jerry Jones decides Tony Romo ain't his boy.
He ain't going to go to Dallas. No way.
But that's somebody with money.
I Michael Vick is a Virginia guy. He's played in Atlanta. He's played in Philadelphia, and you know, and I think a little south of Virginia, a little north of Virginia. That's his sphere right there. I don't see him leaving that little semicircle, that little crescent.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab Clay, who joins us from Riverside. Hello, Clay. Welcome to the program.
Evening, guys. Hope everybody's doing well.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Ready for some football this weekend?
Well, you're going to get some. It's going to be a good game. This is a good matchup this weekend of teams that are kind of similar in their rankings.
Yeah.
So on that note, I guess, as is usual, sort of all eyes turn to the Jaguars' defensive backfield, and we're curious y'all's thoughts on the Browns' wide receivers. Is Cribbs going to play? And if he doesn't, what else do you see there? Is it just guys, so to speak?
Or their receivers are average.
Yeah, I mean, they're average. They're young, developing guys.
Massaquah is the best one.
You know, what you're talking about with Cribbs, for those that don't know, it was reported that Josh Cribbs dislocated four toes on a foot.
Tony Grossi confirmed that to me yesterday.
And so, boy, I can't see him playing this week, having just dislocated four toes. You know, so the rest of the guys, I mean, you know, Massaquah's pretty decent. Rubisky's decent. But, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, you got a young quarterback who's throwing the ball to a ton to the tight end. Ben Watson.
Who has more catches, yards, and touchdowns than all the tight ends for the Browns all of last year already.
Yep. And then the running back, Peyton Hillis, is the number two receiver. So, you know, that's kind of typical when you have, you know, young quarterbacks at the helm, and I include Seneca Wallace in there as well. They get very reliant on the tight end and the backs and are a little reluctant to throw the ball down the field to the wideout. So this is a good matchup for the Jaguars. You know, the Jaguars don't match up good, I think, against teams that have premier passing attacks, although they got it done against Houston because they're so still struggling in the back end. But with, you know, Cleveland Browns team, I think the matchups are good. You know, but what concerns me is that, you know, the Browns beat New Orleans and beat New England. And if you look at their losses, I mean, look at who their losses came to. Atlanta, Baltimore, Tampa. I mean, a lot of these guys, they're all division leaders. I mean, they have the toughest schedule, I guess, in the league at this point. And so, folks, don't look at the record when you look at the Cleveland Browns. 3-6 is not an indicator of how solid they are playing.
Well, the AFC North teams are just playing, and the NFC North teams, too, are just playing killer schedules. I mean, week after week, they are taking on the best in the league.
355-NFL1, we appreciate the phone call. Let's grab David, who joins us from Orange Park. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I've got one question and one comment. My comment is I've heard people talk about the catch all week long, and I have yet to hear anyone talk about Sean Considine and about how his play, without his play, the catch doesn't even happen.
You didn't see All Access on Monday night, huh?
We talked about
it.
Yeah, he was our play number two.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I listened to a lot of the talk radio around town. I didn't hear anything on the talk radio when I heard. So
yeah,
it was
a huge play by Sean, and a guy that you know, has kind of got a role on defense. And when he's been on the field, he has made plays. And that was, boy, none bigger than that. You know, there was some dispute about whether the Texans would have enough time to be able to get a field goal off. And see, I see it differently. I mean, there were 16 seconds left on the clock. It was a fairly quick completion. They could have lined up and spiked the ball.
Well, no, it was third down. They would have been spiking it on fourth down.
They had the first down.
No, they didn't.
I thought they had the first down.
No. They were 5 yards shy.
I got you.
Jeff, I thought the same thing. Same thing. I wrote that and thought the same thing because I thought that had he not fumbled it as he was running, the ball was coming out before Considine got to him. I thought that had he not fumbled as he was running, he would have been able to get the first down. This was a very hectic.
Could have.
That's what I thought. It was a very hectic time. They weren't showing a lot of replays. The plays were coming. The action was coming fast and furious. So that's what I wrote. The next day, I went over to a video and looked at the play over and over. And what I didn't see in live action was there were two Jaguars defenders standing in front of Dreesen at the 30-yard line, which was the first
down mark.
Yeah, which is where he had to get to. And he would not have been able to get to penetrate them and get to the 30. He would have been tackled somewhere.
Could have been
around
close.
31-32.
Could have been close.
Okay.
Could have been close.
I mean, if he breaks a tackle, who knows? But
that's why I say it's debatable.
It's debatable.
Yeah.
It's debatable.
Let's bring Dave back up. Go ahead, Dave.
My other quick question is, I've heard that. Yeah, I've tried to get in to ask you guys this question, but what I wanted to know is, when Wayne Weaver decides to retire or whatever, I've heard that he doesn't have anyone in the family that wants to take over the Jaguars. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I heard. Is there a chance that there would be a committee of former players put together, because I read somewhere that Jacksonville is number one in the NFL for having players retire in the particular city that they played in.
That's not going to happen. But you are on a good question. What I want to do is I want to frame what you're saying into what I consider to be the correct question. Would you mind if I did that?
Sure.
All right. What you're saying is, and you're getting onto something here that is right on the button. When that time comes that Wayne exits, and he has spoken about an exit strategy, all right? The question is, who, and he doesn't have someone to whom he can pass the team that
neither
wants to operate.
Neither his son nor his daughter are here on a daily basis.
When that day comes, who would buy this team and keep it here? That's what you're asking, and it is the question of all questions. And the Mayor John Payton, this past summer when he did a press conference on the practice field during training camp, I asked him, or somebody asked him that question, and his answer was right to the point. He said, what we have to do is we have to make a case for buying this team and keeping it here. And that is the sum and substance of the future of professional football in Jacksonville. That's why we can't wait 15 years for these kids to grow up, and we got to do it now. We have to make a case for the next owner to keep this team here. He's not going to keep it here because he wants to do a nice thing for Jacksonville. He'll keep it here because it's the business smart thing to do. And the way you're going to convince somebody to do that is by filling this building.
We need a break. Let's take it now. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You get a free autograph from Jaguar Center Brad Meester when you visit the Red Wing Shoe and Factory Outlet, 1203 Lane Avenue South, Monday. That's Monday, November 22nd, from 5 to 6:30 in the evening. We're back with more after this. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here on a Wednesday evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline. You get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to jaguars.com. 355-NFL-1. You have a thought?
Nope.
Okay, let's grab Mike, who's on the north side. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to bring this call in just after your previous call of a positive note about the future ownership. But I'd like to say I'm over 60, and I've lived here since 1960. I'm not trying to place a judgment on anything or anybody, but I'm just going to make a statement of cold, hard fact from experience, and then you guys can make your own judgment after that. Since 1960, I've watched every minor and every semi-pro and whatever pro team came here, hockey teams, Bush League hockey teams, some rugby team, some team in soccer teams.
Go ahead.
Baseball. And from now, nothing has ever made it. People talk about Jacksonville being a true football hotbed. Well, I beg to differ about that, because the only time they fill the stadium is a Georgia-Florida game, an occasional FSU game, and a real good Gator Bowl game will just about fill up the stadium. And beyond that point, it just doesn't happen. I'm sorry that that's just the way it's been. I would have told Mr. Weave right now, and I think he's done a great job trying to keep things fair for the city, and I hope it works out and lasts forever and ever and ever. But I would have told him that you're just not going to make money at the gate during the year, and you can forget that, but you might bring a team and you might make a fortune when you sell it, but you're not going to make money, and you just got to be prepared for that. during the year.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If you don't mind, I'm going to take it from here. I think you have. There's nothing wrong with what you've said. There's a lot of logic in your words, and I'm going to try to paint that logic. And basically, what you're saying is that the games that have been successful here have been games that have been staged in which the teams that played have brought fans from outside the town. Florida, Georgia, Gator Bowl, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that's a problem, because that's been the message, that's been the habit that has been reinforced here for a long time. In other words, bring teams in and let their fans buy the tickets, and you sit back, watch it on TV, and say, look how much we love football. We filled that stadium, when in fact you haven't filled the stadium. With the habit that's been formed is a habit of watching TV on football instead of buying the tickets and going to the game. So the Gator Bowl plays here in the old days. I can remember watching way back a Florida State-Penn State Gator Bowl game that's one of the classics. There were 90-some thousand people in there, and boy, I mean, wow. Jacksonville is a hot butt. Well, those are all Florida State and Penn State fans. And Florida and Georgia come in here, and look at that place. You know, largest outdoor cocktail party, and there's trailers everywhere. But those people don't live in Jacksonville. You see, for years and years, and this is what the caller is saying, the habit was formed. This place became Howard Johnson. It became the great host of football. And now it's being demanded that it do more than host the game. It's being demanded that it attends the game, that it supports the game, that it bankroll the game. And it's a different role, and it's a much tougher thing to do. So what he's saying is there's a lot of truth there.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1.
It's no good. It's not good enough anymore just to love it. You got to support it.
But I don't go with the thing that it's not going to work.
I don't go with that either.
Yeah, I mean, that's
but it's just a habit that has to be broken. The habit of watching football on TV has to be broken.
I mean, you look at what this place was 95, 96, 97, 98. Crazy. I mean, crazy.
Big crowds.
Yeah. It's been done. It can be done again.
You had a real good economy. You had a burgeoning economy. Mm-hmm. Busting at the seams. Everyone was flush with money. You had a novelty, you know, new team in the market. It was a perfect starting time. Now we're at a point where there has been some mediocre seasons. We're in a very, very rough economy. The town hasn't grown to the size that we thought it was going to grow.
No, it has not.
And put all that together, and we're coming up a little shy of the blackout number. We're struggling to get to the blackout number. But what this guy said, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people have been coming in from outside and buying the tickets for these games, but now Jacksonville has to buy these tickets.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Time for news at the bottom of the hour. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get your Bueller Swiss Watch at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Don't forget to register for the November 20th. That's this Saturday. McKenzie's Run, 5K, 1 mile run, walk through downtown. Big finish on the Everbank Field 50-yard line. To register or for more information about this fun family event, caregivegrow.org. Caregivegrow.org. Our friends, the Wilsons, with their inaugural event for the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. We certainly want to support them. Hope you will as well. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Back to the phone lines. Let's go with, where do you want to go?
Choose a number.
Get that guy there, the coward guy on, so we can get that.
Okay.
I want to give these people some logic.
Mark from Mandarin, you're next.
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I heard a little rumor this weekend, a friend of mine, one of them friend of a friend type of things, that Phil Phil Cowher was in town looking at some real estate in Ponte Vedra, and I just wondered if you guys had heard anything about that, that maybe they might be interested, and he might be getting antsy, getting back into coaching.
Ad nauseum, we've heard this one.
Okay. Brian, do you your wife is in real estate. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about this?
Heard this 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
Heard from various people that we know and trust. I heard not only was it Ponte Vedra, that it was Fernandina Beach.
Okay. Now, I've covered Coach Cowher. And I want you to believe me when I tell you, he ain't coaching here. That is not going to happen. He can buy a whole city block. He can buy houses in every community in Jacksonville. And all it means is he's buying houses. Because I promise you, he is not going to be the head coach of this football team. What Bill Cowher is going to want to get back into coaching would bring a mule to its knees. I mean, he wants Mike Holmgren money. He wants $9 million, $10 million.
Is that what Mike Holmgren makes for Cleveland?
Yeah, he's a $9 million guy.
No way.
Oh,
$9 million?
Yeah. No, Cowher, he wants it all. He is the odds-on favorite to be the next coach of the Carolina Panthers.
He'll want to be GM too, right?
No, but he wants to bring his guy, whoever that guy is going to be. Tom Modrak, there's another guy. Tom Modrak lives. He's got a house down in Volano Beach.
Right by the bridge.
And Modrak is Cowher's guy, but he's retired. He's kind of out of it, and I don't think he wants to get back into it. Kevin Colbert would be Cowher's other guy, and he was re-upped by the Steelers. So there's a battle going on right now among personnel guys as to who can become Bill Cowher's guy, because they're going to get a lot of money too, and they're both going to end up, Cowher and that guy are likely to end up in Carolina. It's not going to happen here. I've been seeing this stuff, the rumor, he's buying a house. Well, I bought a house too. I mean, I bought a piece of raw land up in the Smoky Mountains, but I'll probably never live on it.
Well, look, here's the other side of the coin, is that's not how they do it. They don't move here before they have the job.
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, it's not how they do it.
Plus, there's probably 6 or 7 job openings at the end of this year, and if you are the guy who most people are seeking, you're going to want to use that as leverage, one against the other, to get as much money as possible, and Bill Cowher's going to want that much money.
Right. You've got a general manager
in place.
Give
away your leverage now.
His name is Gene Smith, and he's running the show. That's the way it's going to stay, and Bill Cowher is not coming here.
Just, I heard that you were going to – you bought that place up there in the Carolinas to write for Panthers.com. That's what I heard.
You heard that?
Yeah. That's what the rumors floating around up there in the Carolinas.
Hey, you never know.
That's what I heard.
Tennessee Titans aren't that far away either.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what I heard. That's
I'm actually
all. Friend of a friend of a friend.
I'm trying to move this franchise to Asheville.
Well, Mark, sorry to dispel that if it was what you were hoping for, but hold on the line anyway, because you just won 20 Jaguar scratch-off tickets from the Florida Lottery. To play the Jaguar scratch-off game, visit a Florida Lottery retailer near you. 355-NFL-1, and he is on line 2 there, Joe. 355-6351. Sean joins us from Dames Point. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. I've always felt the NFL has been missing the boat as far as ticket sales. If Jacksonville was in a geographic division where we could, play Tampa Bay, play Atlanta, play New Orleans, people would road trip and fill the stands. You really don't care what color jersey they're wearing. You want to sell tickets. But I'm not flying to Seattle. I'm not going to Cleveland.
Well, you've got to go to Seattle anyhow. I mean, even if Atlanta was in your division, you're going to play all over the country.
But he's got a good question. Would a geographical alignment make more sense for the league?
It would help. But
it does in the NFC North, doesn't it?
You could Carolina, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Tampa, Tennessee, let's say.
It would help. I mean, you might bring some of those people here. I mean, it doesn't matter what you take there. You want to bring people here. But who brings more here than Pittsburgh? Nobody.
Yeah.
And that's not in the Southeast.
Nope.
The best rivalry I ever covered, by far, was the Steelers and the Raiders. And there was no tie at all, except they were killing each other on the field. Big games. That's what makes for rivalries. You see, the Jaguars' rival, in my opinion, is the Tennessee Titans. Why? Because they've played them more than any other team. They've got big games against them, and of course the AFC title game in 1999. There is some geographic proximity there.
Sure.
There is some, They're in the Southeast, although, you know, Nashville's a long drive, but it can be done economically, and that's good. The Indianapolis and Houston thing, the reason why they got put into this division is this is the division of rejects. These are the teams that nobody else wanted. The AFC East teams have a blood oath going back to their AFL days. The AFC North, those teams are incestuous. The AFC West, those teams have a blood oath going back to their AFL days. And what was left were all these were the expansion franchises and the relocation franchises.
AFC or NFC South is pretty much the same thing. It was kind of the
reject division.
I don't want to call it that.
That's the NFC East demeaning. Has a blood oath. The NFC North is incestuous. They're all up there and, you know, in the upper Midwest. And the NFC West, actually, the NFC West is kind of a bunch of marbles in a barrel kind of division. The Rams.
Well, you know what that division was?
Used to be the old.
It was the division of the owners that got no respect. I mean, when the realignment happened, yeah. You had Bidwell in Arizona, who wasn't a big fan of anybody, other owners.
Uh-huh.
And then you had an ownership change in St. Louis. You had ownership changed hands in San Fran because DeBartolo mm-hmm. was given the boot.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Seattle, that was a relatively new owner as well. The old school teams that had, you know, owners that have been there for a long mm-hmm. time, they got what they wanted.
But the next time you think that what this team needs is a AFC South that would be Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville, and, say, Atlanta. Think about, or Carolina, or whatever. Think about this. What they really needed was to stay in the old AFC Central.
Right.
If they could have been the Miami of the AFC North, the place where Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Baltimore migrate in December, that's what would have filled your stadium. You could have had one game a year. Pittsburgh would have been gone. You can count on that being a hot ticket. Cleveland and Baltimore would have migrated here.
Why did Baltimore get that?
Huh?
Why did Baltimore get that?
In that division?
Yeah.
Well, they're the old Browns.
But they're not the Browns anymore. Yeah,
but they hate each other.
Yeah,
Jeff.
I know.
They hate each other more than anything in the world.
Yeah, I know. But
and it really has worked for them.
But still, though, it was
It was Modell. And the Modells and the Rooneys, you know, I mean, you're not going to separate them. Hey. And then, of course, Cleveland and Pittsburgh, you're not going to separate. Now, but here's the thing. And, I mean, Dan Rooney said this to me. Dan Rooney wanted it to be Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Jacksonville. But Cleveland didn't want to get rid of Cincinnati because of the Ohio thing, all right?
The Paul Brown thing.
Dan Rooney, he said to me, why don't you get your owner? Why don't you get Wayne Weaver, you know, to want to get in with us and stop chasing the AFC East? They're not going to let him in. And he wanted Jacksonville to be the AFC North Miami, you know, kind of like a blue-collar Miami.
Now, having said all that, and I get the point, the NFL is not really a travel league.
No, but that would have been. Listen, when the Jaguars play in Pittsburgh,
it would have been
they
for
take
a few,
people up there. They like to go up
right.
there.
It would have been for a few teams, but he used the term fill the stadium. Other than Pittsburgh, you don't see that.
Did Atlanta fill the stadium when they played here a couple years ago?
No. And that's my point. NFL games are on Sunday. College games are on Saturday. There's a travel home day. The NFL has never been a travel league.
You know what would be perfect? If you had Pittsburgh, Green Bay.
Yeah, and the Giants.
In the Giants.
Or the Eagles.
Or the Eagles, yeah. Philly.
Uh-huh.
But that's about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to go to any game.
That'd be the dream division.
It's not you load up the RV like you do for Ole University and drive all over the South.
But you know,
you don't do that.
Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Tennessee in the same division
might have some.
That had some geographic, you know, sense to it. Although
you can get home Sunday night in time to go to work on Monday.
Yeah,
you know, you see what I'm saying.
All I'm telling you is though, there were people in the AFC North. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, those two, they would have loved to have had Jacksonville, and they liked it. They were building something with them. They liked having a Florida team in their midst, and that certainly would not have been geographically sensible, but they would have filled your stadium.
355-NFL-1. Certainly appreciate the phone call, Sean. We need to break. We'll take our final commercial time out of the evening and roll on towards the finish of this program after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it. All right, 10 minutes left in the program. Got some callers on the line, so let's go immediately to the north side where Chris has been hanging through that commercial break. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. I have a question about the defensive end, and my question is that during that game, I was kind of watching, and I was like saying to myself, I wish Campman was in on that play. And I'm wondering if you all know that if the Jaguars are trying to add anybody else to their roster or just going to pretty much like experiment with the guys they have left. Because if I believe correct, I think Houston Texans released a veteran defensive end. I think you could probably add to this roster.
Help is not on the way.
Yeah,
not on the way.
What? I mean, really, what's out there is not going to be better than what you have. What they're hoping is that you know Austin Lane and Larry Hart develop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're hoping.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mincy is a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a young player and he's a good player. Got great energy, plays hard, you know, but you need one of these young guys to kind of step forward.
It doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for Eugene Monroe. You know, now look where he is. Well, that's what you hope, you know, for Austin Lane and Larry Hart next year. You hope at this time next year you can say the same things about them that you're saying about Eugene Monroe.
You want to see some signs here in the last, you know, seven games.
At some point, you got to put these young guys in and develop them. Here we are. They're in.
355 NFL.
But I was with him. I was with Chris in the game, and I said it to Brian. Boy, I bet you they'd like to have Campman in the game now. At the end of that ball game, when you knew that Houston had to drive and there wasn't a whole lot of pressure. But now I will say this. Houston's offensive line is night and day compared to what it was a couple years ago. Because you remember we talked for years about – this team has neglected the big guys up front.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they haven't recently. They
drafted Dwayne Brown in the first round.
Eric Winston, mm-hmm. Dwayne Brown, Myers turned out to be a pretty good player at center. The guards are decent players, so they've kind of refocused their attention. Or should I say they got rid of Charlie Casserly, because Casserly was the one who ignored the offensive line.
He did an amazingly bad job there. I was really stunned. I thought he was better than that. I mean, he really did a crapola job.
Starting with David Carr.
I wish he'd done a better job there for himself because he's not very good on TV either.
No, he's not. Starting with David Carr. Hey, you know, the Baselli thing wasn't exactly a home run either.
I forgot about that.
He gave him a lot of money and never played it down.
No, but, I mean, that was certainly a – I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame type player – that if he got healthy, he would have been great for that team. And, I mean, you got to do that.
Grab another phone call. We've got Ty out at the beach. Hello, Ty. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. What do we got left? 5 minutes? 7 minutes?
Yeah, about five and a half.
What do you got on your mind?
I hate to be jumping back to the guy from 1960s talking about the season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been a season ticket holder for 4 years now. But I'm only 23. We got the new generation running through here now, because I've been watching them since I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we got I got my roommates on board, and I got my dad back on board on the 30-30 plan. We've sold 18 tickets between the two of us this year.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
You guys on board. And, I mean,
things are changing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We got the new generation that's, like, I couldn't buy season tickets until I actually had a full-time job, and that's how it was. So I think everything's getting better around here.
Ty, I said that to Vic a while ago. You got to have the generations grow up with it. And Pittsburgh had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Green Bay Packers, you think that that's just because of some undying love of football?
No.
Oh, no. It's just, when were the Packers formed? What year?
They're in the 20s, yeah.
Almost 100 years old.
Well, you're talking about heritage franchises. You're talking about franchises that are approaching their 100th, their centennial anniversary. There's no
That's
question.
What you got to have.
There's no question.
That's what you got to That's why I believe that, you know, all this talk of L.A., the perfect market for L.A. is Oakland. I said this a little while ago during a commercial
break.
Oakland is not an Oakland-based
Raiders
fan.
Raiders are perfect for L.A.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I totally agree.
I mean,
they've been there already.
They've been there already. They draw from anywhere. It's kind of the bad boy club. L.A.'s perfect fit for them. Where everybody else, they talk about moving Jacksonville or moving Buffalo. Well, you know what? You move a team like, guess what you're doing? You're starting back at ground zero again. You just wasted you know, a couple generations that grew up with the team, and now you got to start back at ground zero again. The key to successful NFL franchises is have generations to grow up with a football team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about kids being raised where on Sunday they go to church, and after church they go home or to a friend's house, and they have get-togethers and watch football.
There's no question, Jeff, and I mean, I can give personal testimony to this, you know, going back to my days as a 6-7-year-old fan. And
you were somewhere with your dad and mom watching the Steelers.
There's no question.
And when I was a kid, I was somewhere watching the Redskins. And it was always a huge get-together. And, Brian, it was the same thing for you.
St. Louis Cardinals, absolutely.
You want to see how things can change?
Philadelphia Eagles.
I grew up not watching the Eagles because they were never on. They were blacked out.
Well, all teams were blacked out back then, Joe. All home games were blacked out before 1973. Sold out or not. For instance, I had a guy write to ask Vic yesterday, wanted to know why the 72 AFC title game was played in Pittsburgh since Miami was undefeated that year. And I explained to him that the home field advantage in those days was on a rotation basis, and the AFC Central had home field advantage in 72. And then I posed the question, here's a question for you. Why was the game blacked out in Pittsburgh? It was blacked out because all home games were blacked out. All games that were blacked out in the city in which they were played, including Super Bowl I, which was blacked out in Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
Think of that.
I
Super Bowl I was blacked out in Los Angeles.
And Super Bowl I was broadcast on two networks.
That's right.
CBS That's right. broadcast the NFL.
Blacked out on two networks.
And NBC broadcast the
AFL. So it was a 1973 act of Congress that changed all of that, and do you know that the NFL still abides by that 1973 Act of Congress?
It expired in 77.
But it expired in 77. They do so voluntarily. You got a caller you want to get to?
Yeah, a Mackie just called from Deerwood. You're fired.
I guess he's not sorry.
Couple of games to mention around the National Football League this weekend. This one here between an improving Cleveland team and a Jacksonville, yeah. It's pretty
good.
Green Bay at Minnesota. I don't know how good it is, but
no, Minnesota, Green Bay.
Green Bay at Minnesota.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at the schedule. Okay. Green Bay at Minnesota. Houston at the Jets is interesting for us in these parts.
And especially with Matt Schaub being in the hospital last night.
Yeah, with a bursasack issue in his knee.
Oh, they're done. You forget about them. They're last place, clinched, done.
Gonski.
Here's what they got now. The next 5 weeks.
Gonski.
L-L-L-L. Done.
How about Oakland at Pittsburgh? That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's a good game.
It's a 1 o'clock game,
Most underrated team in the league. Oakland's rankings are number 12 on offense and number 6 on defense, and no one realizes really how good they are on paper. They just keep thinking they're winning. These are flukes. These are not flukes. They are a good team on paper, too.
Great 4 o'clock game, Indianapolis at New England. And then the Sunday night game should be fun, the Giants at Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. It's a
real
good
schedule.
Over there. Yeah,
oh,
good schedule.
Can you imagine if the Eagles tag the Giants? How Tom is going to spend his Thanksgiving?
I think the Eagles are going to tag the Giants.
Oh, you're looking at back-to-back division losses in November? Oh.
I don't know about that, Vic.
He'll be fit to be tied.
I think the old bruising ground attack of the Giants could soften the Eagles up a little bit.
Where's the game?
At Philly.
What's the Monday night game? Did you happen to
watch
that?
Yeah, it's not real good. It's San Diego and Denver.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's Denver at San Diego? I think it's Denver at San Diego. That's a blowout.
It's Denver at San Diego.
I'm going to point to that game.
All right, folks. So that'll do it for another edition Jaguars This Week, presented by our friends at Aetna. Thanks to the guys at CBest Seafood for bringing by dinner. And Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
And thanks to Vic. You know, he's got the connection with CBest.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Vic.
Just let me know what you want.
Next week, yeah. Turkey.
No, they don't do turkey.
Turkey fish?
I thought Jeff was cooking.
No.
You're supposed to be smoking in a parking lot.
That doesn't mean cooking. Good night, everybody.